Hey, everybody. It's a fresh episode of For Love, the podcast on the Call to Arms feed presented by Slam Philippines and Titan. This one's a big one. This one's about as big as we could get. We're so happy that on episode 3 of a podcast that's dedicated to providing all of you guys updates on the World Cup, on our team that's getting set to play the World Cup, that we have on the show, on this episode, the one, the only, the head coach of Gilas Pilipinas, Coach Chot Reyes. We recorded this August the 2nd, the first morning that Gilas was in China. We recorded it moments before Coach Chot had to jump up and head to coaches meeting and then their first practice in China. He gives us an incredible lowdown on the journey to building this team so far, the highs, the lows of that. He gets very, very honest with his own personal assessment of certain players, of the journey so far, and he gives us a preview as to what is still yet to come in their journey to preparing for the World Cup and the world's best players coming to our country, to our shores, to our cities, to play for that big trophy. Thanks to Coach Chot for making the time. He's probably the busiest person I could think of right now. Thanks as well, as always, to my incredible co-host, Isaac Go. Thank you to Slam Philippines and to Titan for making this show possible. The original score for the pod is an old gift from an old friend, Mr. Raymond Marasigan. My name is Nico Ramos. This is For Love, the podcast. It's our great honor to have the head coach of the national team here with us straight from China. We usually do this live. We usually do this live and direct from Titan Conrad. I think it's an understandable exception because our guest is fresh, just landed, I think, just a few hours ago in China. Your first morning in China, Coach Chot Reyes is on the pod. Coach Chot, thanks for making time for us.
Thanks for having me, Nico. Thanks, Isaac.
Coach, I think we can start off like this. Maybe you can give us a little bit of a backgrounder as to what the tournament in China is, the level of competition we're going to face there, and maybe what you're looking for in terms of this stage of the preparation for the World Cup.
Well, we were approached a couple months back by Jericho Ilagan about this tournament. Originally, there was supposed to be four teams, Lebanon, Iran, and Senegal. There was an opportunity also to have Angola here and some other countries, but we didn't want to do it because we didn't want to play the teams who were in our bracket. So it ended up with the four teams. However, at the last minute, and I think they had some problems and issues, Lebanon had to beg off. So we ended up with just us, Iran, and Senegal here. So instead of playing each other once, we're playing each other twice, which is fine with me because we get four games. And that's crucial because that's part of our build-up process. We really wanted to play as many tune-up games as possible. And we would have wanted to play the other teams. We would have wanted to play the guys who are in Europe now and so on and so forth. But the reality is it was hard to get tune-up games. The top quality European teams don't want to play us. So we had to, this one was an official invitation as well, it was an official invite. So we took it we, a couple of months back, we said this was going to be a good penultimate phase in our preparation because after this, we're now going to go into our final stages, which is a couple of tune-up games in Manila. So that's what this tournament really is for.
And of course, Coach, as you said, you're about to reach that final stage. This is an important turnaround point for the build-up. And I want to ask you how the team is in terms of Siyempre, you've had guys who have been there from the beginning, and then now guys like Ray, Calvin, Roger are starting to get acclimated back in the team. So how is the overall team morale, parang construction, how do they look, and how prepared do you think they are right now?
In terms of spirit and morale, very high spirits, very high morale. The team has really developed a bond, being together for quite a while now from Estonia, Lithuania. We really wanted to start early to be able to build that because it was something that we felt was lacking coming into the World Cup preparations. So that's developed. However, we've had some speed bumps. You already know the injuries that we faced even before the pool was constructed. And now, during the training, we've had some casualties, you know. And in fact, I think today, Justin Brownlee is going to undergo a surgery to remove bone spurs in his ankle. You all know Scottie Thompson had surgery for his fracture. And I think Poi Eram, on Friday, is going to have surgery on his knee as well. So, three guys who were originally in the pool, were with us in Lithuania and Estonia, are not here. However, there are three others who were not with us in Estonia and Lithuania who are here, the guys that you mentioned. So that's a good thing. And that's the purpose for having a pool, right? You can imagine if we just started with 15 or 14, you know, we're san tayo pupulutin ngayon. But that's precisely why we had the pool, because, and I'm sure you know this very well, we have a pool and all that, and we're training. We cannot train lightly, because, you know, if you just train lightly, it's just almost like not training at all and not preparing. We really have to go hard in practices and in scrimmages and in drills. And the problem is sometimes injuries, which is part of the game, you know, cannot be avoided.
Coach, I'm asking Isaac to pack his bags. He's he's healthy. He's in shape, best shape I've ever seen him. He's on the way to China. Another Gilas alum, warm body to help. You know, to help the camp, to help the pool. So the jump shot is ready.
Come on down. Yeah.
Coach Sean.
No, that's important. That's important before we leave that point, because we also have Ange Kwame in the pool, right? Mm-hmm. And he plays a big role because he is the big body for Junmar to defend and to attack in practice as well. Even if he's not going to be in the final lineup, he still plays a big role. We just don't have him here because he's going to play with Rain or Shine in the Jones Cup. So he's now with Rain or Shine practicing with them. But, you know, those things are we take into consideration those things as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure Rain or Shine is sending a thank you note to the Gilas coaching staff saying, thanks for lending us Ange, and thanks for getting him important reps in Europe. Now he's ready for the Jones Cup. Coach Schott, I mean, you talked about Justin earlier, and obviously, like, what a player Justin Brownlee is. It's the most obvious thing I've probably ever said in my career. Very recently, you know, there's confirmation that Jordan is going to be joining the team for the World Cup. I was with Jordan in Utah this February for All-Star Weekend, and, you know, we actually very casually spoke about the World Cup, and he expressed then how excited he was, how he wanted to play a lot of games in front of the home crowd. I think that was what was most important to him. He's sabi niya parang, I played a couple of times in Manila. I really wanna be there for a full tournament, play in front of our crowd. But, you know, Justin's been as good of a teammate, of a pool member, of a player as you could find. What's that conversation like with him, letting him know that, you know, obviously I know World Cup is any basketball player's dream, but, you know, thanks for your service. You're going to slot in into the Asian Games, and Jordan's going to come in. How did he receive it? What was the nature of that talk between the two of you?
Very kind of I'm trying to find the words, bittersweet or something. I guess bittersweet is the best way to describe it. In fact, we just had that. We were right before, was that the tune-up game versus Magnolia? We were at the sideline because Justin, even when he couldn't play, is in every practice. He's there. He's talking to the guys. He's acting like an extra assistant coach. I guess everybody knows when Justin came in, he knew that he was going to come in really as a backup to Jordan. And he embraced and accepted that role wholeheartedly without any reservation. He said, whatever you need, coach. And he came in, and even while battling and managing that pain in his ankle, that bone spur has been there for a long time. I'm sure Isaac knows how that feels. And we've just been managing it on and off, even in Europe. It would act up quite a bit, so we'd rest it a little bit, we'd treat it on and off, and we were in the process of just making sure that he's ready in case Jordan couldn't make it for the World Cup. However, when we got the final confirmation that Jordan and a date, I mean, like you said, Jordan always wanted, it was always Jordan who we had as the guy for the World Cup, and he's always been committed to it, but we couldn't get the final date on his arrival. However, when it was final already, then we decided for Justin to go and have the ankle taken care of, to take those bone spurs out, because we need him for the Asian Games. Get it in sooner rather than later, to get him 100% for the Asian Games, which is not too far off. It's going to be at the end of September. So talk about commitment. This entire team and this entire program is built on commitment, the commitment of not only Justin, but all the guys here coming in, training, being away from their families with no certainty of making the final 12. That's a difficult part, really. But I don't think you can talk about commitment without mentioning, you know, Justin's commitment to the program. I mean, pusong Pinoy talaga siya. So, can't say enough about it.
As you said, Coach, pusong Pinoy na si Justin. And he's, as you said, it's very difficult to go through what he's going through with the injury, with the uncertainty. Parang yun, kumbaga, a lot of players would have maybe stepped out, would have quit. But yun na, he showed his commitment. And speaking of Justin Bradley, and of course, his head coach in Barangay Ginebra, Coach Tim Cohn, is part of your staff. And we had him on the podcast in the first episode, and we talked about the 4 a.m. run, the 4 or 5 a.m. run. And he said that he actually completed it, and he was the only coach to do it. So we want to confirm with you, Coach, if that's true, because you know, we haven't asked anybody else.
It's true. Completed it. Don't ask how long he did it, but he did. The important thing is he did finish it. And I've never been much of a runner. I'm a walker more than a runner. So I did the walk, but not Tim actually completed the entire course. I think it was a 5K that the players ran, and Tim actually did complete it.
Isaac, I will make sure to call Coach Tim right after this and say, Coach Tim, Isaac did not believe you. He had to go and call Coach Chot in China to confirm. He will hear about this.
Right now, we have,
baka magulat ka na si Coach Tim. Baka may
meeting right after this.
Isaac, the next time Ginebra plays Terra Firma, be ready for double teams. You're not going to get one shot off. Coach Chot, speaking of that conversation with Coach Tim, he shared, you know, I think what he shared with us is your, in his words, of all your many strengths, he said that the one thing that he feels you are truly, truly special at is building teams, right? And getting a group of talented players from different places and kind of really having them coalesce, buy in, and, you know, be a team. it's not always the same process. That's something I remember you've shared with me. You said, you know, different timelines, different personalities, different circumstances. You approach team building very different ways. What has this team building process been like for you personally, with someone who probably has the most experience anywhere of building teams, especially national teams?
A real test. It's been a real test, but a test and a challenge that I would gladly do over and over again, because like I said, we're all here. Me personally, I'm here because this is really the only way I know how to serve my country. And I think that is at the core of everything that we're doing here. So the process of building this team has been very difficult. You all know the circumstances. You all know the conditions. It hasn't been a straight line. It hasn't been without speed bumps and setbacks. Very, very difficult setbacks. But that's why for me, it's been a very challenging process. But I always believe there's a reason for everything, right? For me, what we're looking at is we just keep our heads down, keep pushing, keep doing what we're doing with the faith and with the belief that it is going to come together at the right moment. Right now, we have so many missing pieces. We're here in a tournament a couple of weeks away, and still we're not complete. We couldn't even get the full team together, but we are operating on the belief that, you know, as long as we're doing and as long as we are putting in our best efforts, and we are doing it very intentionally, we came into this with our eyes wide open that it's not going to be easy, and we have to be very, very flexible. We have to be very agile and adaptable. And that's, we're right in the midst of it now. We're right in the midst of the struggle. It's a huge struggle. Like I said, it's a great challenge, but it's something that I would gladly do, because we're doing it. I think we're doing it for the right reasons. And that reason is our service to the country.
And you've talked about this, the buildup of this team. It's been a process. And I would like to ask you, who's the player who either impressed you the most, or or has developed the most in this stretch of preparation? I know that it's very hard to impress you, coach. You have a lot of experience. You've handled a lot of players. But for you, who has shocked you, or maybe has improved throughout this process? Because you know, we don't always look. Of course, our goal is the end destination, but we also look at the growth in the journey of the player.
Yeah, I think the one player was Renz. Renz Abando. You remember this, Isaac, right? In our Asian Games. I don't know, you were not with us in Asian Games, SEA Games kapala.
Games.
But in the Asian Games with Coach Nenad, he didn't even know who Renz Abando was. And I had to say, we gotta take a look at him. And we did. And he did make he eventually made the Asian Games lineup. I think the player who has shown tremendous growth from day one to today is Renz. Because I think of all the players, he was the most unfamiliar with any of the stuff we were doing. Yes, he did play with me previously in the Asian Games, but the preparation there was very, very limited, hardly any preparation. And that was... I just got in. That was really Coach Nenad who was preparing that team, and we were really running Coach Nenad's system then. So there was the one who was least familiar with what we were doing is Renz. But his development from day one of our preparation to today, again, is very impressive. Junmar as well, because when we came in, Junmar was coming off injury. And from what he could do in day one to what he's doing now, also is very, very impressive. So for me, those two guys stand out. But everyone else is, dapat naman, no? From day one when we started to now, is showing improvement. But having said that, very honestly, we're still quite a ways off from where we want to be. Not having Jordan here, who's going to be a big part of the offense, obviously is not ideal. But it is what it is. Those are the cards dealt with us. And we're doing our best to make sure that when Jordan comes, everybody else is ready and is playing at a high level. Because we all know what he can do. We all know how experienced and how mature as a player he is. And he's not coming in cold. He knows a lot of our stuff. We've been communicating regularly. I send him a lot of our stuff, the video of our what we're doing here. We exchange our comments and ideas. So it's not like he's going to come in cold. I think that's something that we're looking forward to.
And in shape, right? I mean, I think that's also also the important thing. Is you mentioned there've been a lot of injuries. There've been guys you've worked into shape through this camp, and I think that the promising development on the Jordan side of it is, as you said, he's coming in familiar, he's coming in updated, and he's coming in shape, and that's when you take kind of like the preparation to the next level. I won't ask for specific names, coach. It's not so much that. No, I'm not necessarily hunting for names. I guess we're just trying to get familiar with, again, this team building process, right? So we're recording this August 2nd. The tournament starts towards the end of the month. At this point, coach, you and your staff, how much of that final 12 is pretty firm, and how many of those 12 slots are still being competed for?
We just had a meeting actually about it 2 days ago. We have regular updates. We have daily meetings to talk about practice plans, tactics and stuff, drills and what we need to do. And then we have weekly meetings for our bigger picture things, for schedules, scouting reports, looking ahead stuff. And we just had our last weekly meeting last Friday at the end of last week, actually. And I think right now, to be very honest, counting Jordan, we have about seven already, maybe seven or eight kind of shoe-ins. But again, anything can happen. How players are going to play here is going to be very important. There's a lot of things we're going to look at here in these four games in China. And then we have a couple more, but we hope our plan is when we play our final two tune-ups in Manila against Montenegro and against Mexico, we already have our final 12 by then. If not, at least the final 14 at the very least. So that's where we're at right now. We have about seven, eight names already who we think are shoe-ins, but that can still change. It's not set in stone. There's still a lot of things that can happen.
Definitely, coach. And as you said, anything can happen within now and before the tournament starts. But I think one person I want to ask for, because I think he's the least, kumbaga, least familiar name in terms of Philippine basketball, is AJ Edu, because hasn't really played here, played in the States. Only really talked about during national team settings, so the Filipino fans are quite, I think, still unaware of him. And he's also, I think, the youngest on this team. So how does it, parang, and I know what it feels like to be the youngest on the team, and now I'm not anymore. But I want to ask you, how is he in his journey? How is he as a player? Because I think people might need a little bit more insight on who he is, how he plays, and parang what is his outlook.
AJ Edu is coming in cold into the senior team, but he's had great extensive experience playing in our under 17, under 18, because he was with Coach Josh. Remember that under 17 team that that placed second in 2018 or the in the FIBA Asia Under 18 that qualified for the World Cup. So that was AJ Edo with Kai then. So he has he already has a taste of playing the way we want to play. So in that sense, he's not coming in really cold. But to this setting, to this kind of level, yes, he is. We're very happy. We're very pleased by his development. He was one of the big setbacks that we experienced was when he got injured in Australia on his way here. So he wasn't able to play games with us in Europe. But he was with us in practices, in all of the team building stuff that we did. And he had an opportunity to strengthen and rehab the ankle with our with our trainer, with Dex, with Coach Dex. And just being around us every day, he knew when he was 100%, he basically hit the ground running. And the two games that we played in Manila before coming over, the two tune-ups that we played, he played very well. And hopefully that trajectory continues rising. And of all the people here, this is really going to, we're really going to keep a very watchful eye on how AJ performs. Because you know that we're going to be playing very big teams here. Iran is huge. Senegal is huger than huge. So and we really only have three bigs. So that's going to be a really big test. But that's what the friendlies are for. That's what these tune-ups are for, right? To put us under extreme adversity, under extreme conditions, and see how we react and see how we perform. And that's why. That's why we're here.
That mix, Coach, of veterans, guys who are the best talents, best fits for this particular tournament, for the World Cup, while at the same time trying to balance experience and exposure to what is hopefully the next World Cup team, right, or the future of the tournament. That's something that I'm sure weighs pretty heavily on your team construction methodology, trying to kind of figure out that. It's very funny to talk about Junmar now, right? We all know Junmar is a six-time MVP, most dominant player the PBA has seen in decades. But the World Cup team in Spain, Junmar was a baby. Junmar was, with all due respect to the Kraken, Junmar was getting token minutes in some games, yeah. Forgetting to check in, you know, right? I think it was in FIBA Asia where he forgot to tap into with the official, just walk straight in. You could really see his growth, right? So how much of that balancing act is on your plate right now with this particular world team, World Cup process of balancing, putting together our best chance at getting wins while at the same time continuing to invest in the future of the program?
I don't think they are at odds with each other. I think what we're doing is simply to make sure that we put the best team on the floor. And sometimes that means we have to be a little bit, we have to be a little bit more patient. Sometimes we have to be a little bit more, we have to give the circumstances and players some more leeway because, like I said, we can't avoid those injuries. We can't avoid the problem with the globalization of our basketball today is that we used to only worry about the UAAP, PBA, NCAA schedules, right? Now we have to worry as well about Japan and Korea and the NBA and the summer leagues. We had to take all of those things into consideration. So I think that is the bigger balancing act that we had to perform or that we continue to perform here. But in terms of whether we're going with more veterans or building for the future, I don't think there is any contradiction in that sense, because what we're seeing now is simply we're checking who are the best players available. Unfortunately, we had guys on your team, Isaac. I'd love to have you. We'd love to have Carl, Justin Baltasar. Remember that group that you had? I mean, we would have loved for them to be here, but unfortunately, circumstances, whether of their own doing or not, or have prevented them from being here. But there are some guys who we would have loved to be here, and who would have, I'm sure Carl and Justin would have very, very big chances of making the final lineup if only they were around. But unfortunately, they're not. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we prepare and get the best from whoever's available, and we put the best team on the floor.
And definitely, Coach, you'll be able to draw out the best from them. You know, I played under UC Inspiral, and I can see the work that you do and the way you bring the best out of us. But I also want to ask you, Yuna, as you said, globalization, you've been a coach for so long, you did years of experience, and what have you noticed in the change of basketball in terms of, like, as you said, globalization? And now, as you're saying that before, you just focus PBA, you just have to work with the PBA, UEP, NCAA. Now you have to tap into these other basketball entities around the world. And even then, you see that you're playing in China, you went to Lithuania, you went to Estonia. So, Parang, what has changed in the growth of basketball, especially, Parang, the difference between now and the last time you were the head coach of the national team?
I think there's quite, I'm sure everybody understands the direction of the game is taking now, where it's really a lot more open. We were playing small ball in 2013 and even in 2014 in the World Cup, right? Where we had a 7-footer, Andre Blatch, who was playing outside, shooting 3-point shots, bringing the ball. And now every 7-footer is doing that. So that one advantage that we had 10 years ago is no longer an advantage now. The game has really evolved into what it is today. We used to be the only team that played small ball. Now every team is playing small ball, except they're doing it with 6'10", 7-footers, 6'8" guards. So that's what we have to really find ways to match, because before it was simple. We will just say that, you know, this is a style we play and the other teams play a different style. But now everyone plays that wide open court, shoot the three, move the ball around the way we used to play in 2014. So it's incumbent upon us, number one, to match it, to find ways to neutralize, because it's a fact that we're going to be facing better athletes, taller athletes, more experienced in terms of international competition than we are. So we're keying in on our ability to defend. We have to be able to defend against these teams, because just to be very honest, there's going to be it's going to be very difficult for us to just go out there and outscore other teams, right? So we really have to be able to we're going to have to count on our defense to be able to slow those teams down.
It's going to be confession time. It's going to be truth time at this part of the podcast before we let Coach Chot go. Isaac, I'm not sure if you know, but there was a time in my life and in my career that Vincent Chot Reyes was signing my paycheck, and he was my boss when he was leading up during my time over at TV5, and Coach Chot was the head executive, not the head coach, over there. And I remember Coach, I'm not sure how much of this you'll remember, but we were talking about the World Cup and like the Olympics and all of these tournaments and things like that. And you said it very passively during a company function, and you said, "One day tayo mag-host." And I remember walking away from my boss at the time, the national team coach, and I was like, "Coach Chot lasing." I was like, somebody get him home. Coach Chot is drunk. He just said that one day the Philippines would host the World Cup. Goes to show you how much I know. But it's been a long and winding process. Remove the team, coach. Remove like preparing to compete in it. I know that you've worn many, many different hats just in the journey to get the World Cup to the Philippines, just for like the hosting of it. Now it's finally happening. I think we get distracted a little bit. We're spoiled as basketball fans as a nation because, well, coach, it's your fault. Nanalo ka in Spain, and so that's the expectation of people now. But I think sometimes it doesn't. I don't think we realize just how big of a moment this is to be hosting the World Cup, to have the world's best players come and play here. That's what For Love the podcast is all about. That's what For Love the campaign is all about, is to celebrate basketball coming to the Philippines. It might be difficult for you because you have much more pressing matters to think about, like winning against the world's best. But do you reflect on just us playing host to all these teams, to all these basketball nations, and maybe imagine how they're going to react once they see and feel our fans in the arena and drive around in our cities and feel how much we love the game?
Yes, in fact, I do. And funny story, when I think back about that, the first thing that comes to my mind is, remember, I was part of the presentation team as well when we tried to do it the first time in Japan, in Tokyo, and we lost, right?
China.
But when I remember that, right after the presentation, we were all in a ballroom in the hotel in Tokyo. Yao Ming comes to me. He approaches me. Of course, we know each other because he knows I'm the coach of the national team. And he shook my hand and he says, "Coach, congratulations. You had a great presentation. Your presentation beat us. We sucked," said sabi ni Yao Ming. "You had a very beautiful presentation. I'm sure you will win," sabi ni Yao Ming. But then, you know, the announcement was made, and sure enough, we lost. The hosting was awarded to China. And what I remember was the heartbreak that we felt. The heartbreak that the entire delegation felt. MVP was there. President Alpanillo was there. We had Manny Pacquiao with us. We had a couple of senators with us.
Lou Diamond Phillips. Let us not forget the participation of Hollywood star Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips was there. But the one thing I remember MVP saying, he said, "Let's try again for the next." And I said, "Boss, it's going to be difficult because I don't see a situation where they will give the hosting to two Asian countries back-to-back." But MVP said, "We won't know until we try," yes. And I think it's that kind of a spirit. And when you talk about For the Love, let's not forget the struggle and the vision and the love for the game and the country of the people behind this entire thing. And you know, binabatikos, masarap, madali batikusin ang SBP, eh, di ba? Madali batikusin yung mga nakikita natin sa... But you do not know how difficult it was to just get this hosting. And I hope that's, in the end, that's what the people appreciate. Di ba? Huwag nyo na kaming palakpakan, huwag nyo, hindi naman na... You don't need to congratulate us. You can hate on us if you want. You can bash us if you want. Pero sana naman ma-appreciate niyo, di ba? Yung hirap na yun, that was 2015. That was 8 years ago. We lost. The first time we tried for this, we lost. But then we went through it again. At tremendous, tremendous expense. And then the kind of expense that we are spending now just to put this thing, but kalimutan mo na yun. Just the effort, the time, the energy of the people behind all this. I mean, we are the guys that people love to hate on because we're the guys who are in front, but the guys who are behind, the people who made this possible, I think, let's not forget. And I think when you talk about For the Love, I think all of us here, we all at one time or another, and me still work for the chairman, but this is really the fruits of a deep love for the game and the country of the chairman, who said on the day that we found out that we lost the hosting of 2018, which turned out to be 2019 World Cup, that man, MVP, said, "Let's try again." And I told him, "Boss, mahirap. I don't see a situation where they will give us back-to-back Asian nations hosting the World Cup." And he said, "Well, we won't know until we try." Yes. And I think that's how we are going to approach this World Cup. It's going to be very difficult. We're going to play. You all know Carl Anthony Towns was already committed to play for Dominican Republic. We're going to play very tough teams. But hey, we won't know until we try. Yes.
That's perfectly said. Coach Schott, we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. We appreciate you, period. I think there's a great personal sacrifice that you go through anytime you choose to lead these national teams. The last time you were on my podcast, you had just won a championship with Toquetex, and I hope you don't mind, but after we stopped recording, you were going to go on vacation with your family. Like, they were in the car waiting, and I was just telling you, I'm so happy for you, because like, you seem like you've really, you know, taken a lot of stress and dumped it off your shoulders. You're so at peace. You just won a PBA championship. You're back at home. You're like, and then I think a few weeks after that, and this is why, Isaac, I always say, I think Coach Schott is drunk, is because Coach Schott took on the challenge of being the national team head coach again. It's a great personal sacrifice. I don't think people ask you enough, how are you personally? I think that we ask you how the team is. So we hope you're well. We hope you know how much you're appreciated. You know, I personally owe a lot of my broadcast, whatever, writing career, because I was drunk in 2013 watching your FIBA Asia team at MOA in the upper box, and then I decided that I think I'm a writer. After that, it started writing drunk Gilas articles, and all of that has led to this now. A lot of it is because of teams you've coached and teams you've built, and we're looking forward to this latest version of the team that you'd build, that you're building to make the country proud. So good luck in China. Stay safe. I wish the team health. I wish the team success, and we can't wait to welcome you guys back home and cheer you on at the World Cup.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Nico. Thank you, Isaac.
Thanks, Coach. All the best, Coach.